It was hard for us. We are kind of lucky, I think.
Tamakut thought Nakhani, you did the gate, Tankhogaduki, Idik Nakaka Kamki, we mocked Saktawatan, Wankuta you pigney, thought Nitkal rest no yukunitu, Nunamana, Taisinga, Pukatimstun, Rudakhtukut Nangwakam Tatam. The Kanwood Kaktuku, the Kuyukuta, down a Nangwood who did the Kituk Taktu Pilaku. Toy, when he got that, what the Ankatas Ansem Nimak and you must have been the Slav Nanuta Bishonga. The reservations were hard for the Indians in the lower 48. And us Eskimos, with our Land Claims Settlement Act and the land that was given to us, we are free. We do anything we want within our land allotment. And we run it. We have our board is all natives. Shareholders. We are free, we're lucky in that respect. And now I think I've said enough, except I want to apologize to all and anyone if I have hurt their feelings by telling and making statements. We want to what umyaka asinrilan. Yung pishonga ta umyugwai dakkinxluku pishutlama taima kanam tishamkun. We awarit stariwa kakangasu kayuka awaritluku kina emna umyugwa nabut hukumku awaritjuan katama kutama skuita. Now that I have said what I wanted to, I have been threatened before because of my work and my ability, but I have reached an age where now I am not afraid to die, but I will do the best I can for my people as long as I live. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson. Did you, Mr. say something further, Mr. Waska? Mary Ann Imamek.
My name is Mary Ann Amamak, and I'm a house mother. I mean, housewife and a mother, and I am a member of the Lower Yukon School District Board. Okay. Yum hook, tang bosom ni hook, what ni yum, chuck knock dam nun ni takaklugu. Yuk pitchadun hook, nun ni yum takaklugu. Okay.
Mary Ann Mamak is a member of the. I'm sorry. Mary Ann Mamak, when he was she. I'm going to Lower Yukon School District to make one board member dilagat. So I think that Sangok Martin Wani Alakhlami Witasini Luni at Tony Hooktoy, Stanka Hasmonik, Nitsasok, Yum, Cha Aklui, Takakluki with a Skluku.
Nun Nil.
Nun Nautisu Aklui. Oh, I'm holding my door. I'm supposed to be talking English.
Kelly, I think we had that twice in Munich.
I think it's been a long day.
I know, and we're grateful to you.
Mrs. Marianne Mamak is a member of the Lower Yukon School District, and she was born and raised... she was born at the village of Imanak, but she was raised down at the village of Alakhanak, next village downriver. And in her younger days, she was taught to respect the property of other people as well as their land, the immediate area around their house.
Quatin hokyuk kanhpknani, huitaun anunapikaka.
During the fall, they would move to a fall camp. People would move to their fall camp, and no one would say, "That is my fall camp." The fall camp was shared by other people as well. Then later on, she was told that she was to go to school, not at Alakhanak, but to St. Mary's. She was sent to St. Mary's. There she went to school. There she went to school for 4 straight years without going home.
School and Rishmashokta King Okun, Kasatun Hokta in York, Taring Lokayu, the Mataman, school as Making Okun. Nuktan Mani. Nunani school and knouting looting.
After she went to school for 4 years, she was sent home. In those days, she was introduced to English language, but she had hard time understanding most of the language, and she could speak very little English. But after she was too old to go back to school, they started building schools in this area.
Kasatlu hukat tamadai adain luting huatin piluting a umun representative or senate huangkutnan pist katakani luting apakaluting tamak wutaut kskluting huangkutnan na pist kakkauni luting.
Then later on, some white people would come by making all sorts of promises, saying that they would be representatives and senators and that they were seeking their votes, making all kinds of good promises.
Settlement Act. Land Settlement Act, Yupi Kanriakan Ritat, Huankutasuk Pilak Knaku.
Then later on, she started hearing the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And then she was told that it does not come from Alaska Natives, and it was not made by the Alaska Natives. It was made by someone else other than the Natives.
Mm-hmm. Naptan kok mayo kak pakunyu pita. Akiro tsah tut makut ping sata kinga kuna. Ika yaksay na kaluting hok, tsali hok tamakot pistay ta. Loirat. Kwangko da kwa, yukun rilk ngamtnik, pistiklo da hok makot ayak nishot.
And then, it hasn't been not too long back that the natives started to realize the value of the land. And then they started fighting back, but they could not fight alone. They had to call on somebody else, someone who is somebody else other than the native to fight for them.
Iyoklak after 1971, taong nakukikinya kakwi nga. What you call landalatman? He's not entitled to any of this. Ikinya kakukta taong na umakatamat ka mag Alaska Native Settlement Act bitok.
And it is to her great regret that she's got one child who does not qualify to be a member of the Imam Corporation or Trust Corporation, and she cannot he cannot be part of this he cannot qualify under this Claim Settlement Act.
You be a walk quantum. Queen a hook. And we are to much chicky dineka. Under this land settlement, a queen has taught in Biscomaya, Kakatamasquan Unaklugo. No. Not that the Maskonuna Club, but the land itself.
Shares.
Her kid that was born after 1971 is a native, full-blooded Eskimo, just like herself. And she would like to see her last kid being eligible and qualified to share the privileges that were made available under the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act.
Does that make sense? Akwaak pa kukni so, akinak may suni so makunag mikil ngok, skulakan kanat ranik. Itiokla hukat tam, meeting asem tnini kholugi makutta. Yunrat. Makut yunrat. Ni chukni wasem kihok. Chaknak. Khwankuta hok pichakya raput kamangkayo gait.
She's been listening to the students, different students making testimonies towards this Native Claim Settlement Act yesterday and today. Also, she was listening to other students in Ancoots during the statewide multi-bilingual cultural conference and listened to students from various parts of the state, natives, talking about their culture. And it seemed to her that these youngsters are hungry for something. That they make her feel that they want to be part and that they want their culture to play an important part in their lives.
Alaska Native Settlement Act, Salitaring or Maxitat Huang Ramasu Hoxali, Imkunik Hoxaxnan, Kanpakarata Tamamta Hoctaring Sidnatahput.
Even the students are going to school right now, even the teachers who are teaching the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Some are having difficult time explaining certain parts of this act. And sometimes she herself gets all mixed up when she hears different sections being talked about, sections of this Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act.
Give us that in I'm out of words.
Okay.
I want to thank you very much for listening.
Thank you then for that statement. Eugenia Augustine.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Eugenia Augustine is 68 years old, and she was born down in Black River area. And she was adopted by a man when she was quite young. And she thought that man, her adopted father, was her own father. And that man provided her with plenty of food, whatever the nature provided. During the fall, before freeze-up, he would gather a lot of tomcats. Then they would be hung to dry and stored away for the winter's food. Winter comes, they were provided with plenty of blackfish, and she never saw any white man's food. And whenever did she white man's food, she was not used to it. And up to this date, she cannot live on white man's food or straw pot food. Everything which the nature provided were prepared in many different ways. Sometimes the pike, tomcod, blackfish, another species of fish were dried and put away for winter's use. Whatever the ocean provided was taken care of with very carefully. And during the fall, they would gather enough mouse food, and they would put them away. And then whenever her adopted father catches seals during the winter, they would make seal stew mixed with the mouse food, and that was the dish that she liked most. Then later on, she was old enough to get married. She didn't see any changes. The food the nature provided was kept up, and she had some children. Some of her children died due to the lack of medical care. The only surviving children were two girls. When the first two children were quite young, her husband died, and there was no welfare or any kind of financial assistance available then. But even though they did not have any kind of assistance from federal government or state, her kids were never hungry. They were always provided food from nature. She never bought a pair of boots from stores. All the boots that her children were wearing and herself were handmade. They were mukluks, made out of seal skins. And she never bought any kind of coats or jackets from stores. She made all the parkas for herself as well as for her two young children. She was well taken care of by her older brother, and she felt she was well fed as well as her two children, even though they were quite young. Now that with her second husband, since her second husband, things have changed quite differently. Nowadays, she does not make as many mukluks that she used to, but she still eats the whatever the nature provides. And thinking and looking back her past, she does not want to see any kind of changes at all. Her children, now grown up, have been living whatever the nature provided, and they are used to the native foods. And they should not be cut off from whatever they are provided from nature. They are their right. And that's all she's got for now.
I wonder if Mr. Isidore Shelton, president of the Traditional Council at Alakanak, would speak now, and Mr. Xavier Joseph, who is president of the Native Corporation at Alakanak. Gentlemen?
I'm Isidore Shelton, and I'm president of the Traditional Council at Alakanak. I myself am pretty young, and as I was growing up, when I realized what was happening, there was already schools built in the village of Alakanak, and they were run by BIA, and I went through eighth grade in that BIA school, and after that I went into another BIA-run high school at Edgecombe. And while I was in Edgecombe, the Land Claim Settlement Act was brought about in 1971. And that was before I graduated from high school. Up until this time, I still don't understand what the meaning of Land Claims Settlement Act is. And I believe that there's quite a few people that don't really understand the Land Claims Act in its fullest detail. And I've been looking into it, but I still don't understand some of the meanings that the laws have in the act itself.
Una khoni kannal ga Isidore Shelton na go ka alak nak me ngo chak mani khoni traditional council at angaya ka go khat mik khan ga min khoni school as hok chak mani alak nak me ayak ne khluni mako khoni ya PIM ko school la ni ya ach chak khluni pik khluni lo kak ma bat mount desk ma na khluni high school ga to khluni High school lang ina nani ko kuna land claims ako niya pitche ko skili. School lang nung kluta kfail gan pitche ko kluna utakluni. Maay su ko ni ngilkluku taga ngillo kaksaw na ku. Nakila kaya kluni ko ka yubwikila kaya kluni su kalikan ukunu natalgan ng land claim anun. Meeting ala tu ya kluni suhoka makun kannaga kata manhok mai ngsluku tagain kapi ngsluku tagain ksaita umkoni land claim mai okutcha.
The people before me that testified spoke about the people living off the land. And before going to high school, I saw a lot of that in Alaknak as well as the surrounding villages. People were living off the land, and they weren't using the monies so much back then. But nowadays, since the Land Claims Settlement Act has passed, people are beginning to see that they can get things done using monies. But monies to, that they need to operate with are sometimes hard to get. And they sometimes don't know where to get it from. And sometimes they don't get anywhere when they want to get some things done because of monies.
Mugilk mini khokhani awani akma batay gulun school la gakh tok pail gmi mugilk khokhani alakh nok mi khani chakum kut asat sununat yuit pisogulutun khokka niksokh pasogulutun khluyulutun akim khani kanh pakaksaunatun Utaktakokka akmakan skoola haaluni akim kokta atu kanin roskia lutung at man akinun koni chau kanik lutung. Maisu hokmanat ki chamukhtu to ake koni nagu utkaksuku tootin. Kaisun koni pisci gachukluta akki takamta. Akkohtammani mokaskshmini nagu utkvakayu chaksuku amtasu hokmai koni Sang naksani kani akikman na nagutmuyuklun.
Now I see something about taxation up there when 1991 comes around, and it's not very far away. Some people don't understand the meaning of taxation. They feel that they can do things without having to pay for any taxes of what they own, the personal properties such as snow machines, skidoos, land, those types. When when I bring up taxation, I have a question. Who's going to be taking those tax monies, and where is it going to be going?
Manasi kwani ni chagus ko putwani tax ako yacht ko puta kwang kuda. 1991 kaktay mat kiskan na kaisun na yuknahta num nat futma kuta tax ako yacht.
Another thing that I would like to bring up is the selling of shares. I think that some people are not too well aware of what their shares are good for, and how important they are for them to keep their shares. I was going to ask how these shares are going to be handled when people want to sell them. I was going to put it in some way now.
How are we going to keep our shares if we don't want to sell them?
And if there are people that are taxing the lands and stuff like that, are they going to be And these shares, are the people going to be able to hold on to their shares when they couldn't pay up what taxes that are brought onto them?
Makutlukwaniya ku Madritwani Corporation on na Hwangkudakwa Nashunash Kudahan Kalra Kutta ku Masput Makunkwani Sharon Kaplakkait Tamakutlukwaniya Tunaksukumskiya Tunaksu Marik Futta 1991 Kiskan Kunu naksakluting to tamakutwani shares at tun kumtki tamarekpachikukut tama illitlukwani awaklik sung muktki agan kasugus kunung time kais pichikat pichak kunatung su taxaritu hinikutung tamani kwani 1991 nasini king oni su akin kwani agan kasugus kumtaka shares at tamakut kaisun piunanuki
That's about all I have for now. I don't know if this will be continuing on later on. Or.
We're going to continue tonight. We had a meeting last night that went till about 11 at night, and then we had a meeting all day today. So. I'll check with you before we close the meeting and just see if that's all right.
Thank you very much.
Maybe I should just add that you asked some questions about taxation. Concern is that if after 1991 the land held by the corporations becomes taxable, that is, it's liable to state property tax. Now, that is,
if the state were to impose a tax on that land that the people were using for subsistence, how could they pay the tax? And if they couldn't pay it, the land could be taken from them. That seems to be the concern. But it would be a state tax. Now, there isn't one now, but that's the concern. There could be. And you raised that question, and that's the that's what people are concerned about. Did you wish to speak, sir, yes. Mr. Joseph?
My name is Xavier Joseph. I'm from Alaknak. I'll be speaking as a shareholder of Alaknak Native Corporation and also a shareholder of Chilista Corporation. When I was small, I remember nobody really owned the land. When you want to build your house, you build it where you think it'll stay without going over the riverbank. Then today, you have to get permission from different organizations if you want to build a house. Then I wonder what it's going to be like in the future. Personally, I don't like it very much. I think land is a gift from our Maker, and I don't think he intended it for certain organizations or certain people to hog it and own so much. But anyway, I'm hoping there'd be a way that that there'd be some way to preserve that among our people, sharing land and letting others use it when you're not using it, and without fencing any land off. Seemed like to me in the next few years we wouldn't be able to pick berries or go trapping without running across fences or trespassing on somebody else's land or having to carry around 3 or 4 permits to go here and there. It doesn't seem good to me, and I kind of hate to lose that, especially for my children, because I'd like to see them hunt and travel the way my dad used to and the way his dad used to, coming and going where he pleased to survive. Then since this Claims Act came around, I kind of compared again to the way things were in the older days. In the older days, the people I noticed only took what they needed from the land, and they got by with just enough money to make it through the year. And there was no talk about insurance or no talking about going to Hawaii with the extra money or no talk about getting an extra car or extra snow machine. Just enough to get by on. then this Claims Act comes around and seemed like to me, if we keep it the way we received it, our people would have to become profit-oriented. And looking at the history of corporations in Lower 48 and other countries, there's an imbalance. Seems like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And up here, there's not much room for that. Instead of getting poorer, I think the people will just pass on one way or the other, because there's not much to survive on. If you don't share it with others around you, then things drastic start to happen. That's one good thing I like about the elders and the older people and the people, older people that had gone on that taught us these lessons. And I hate to see the day my children or their children become profit-oriented and look at paper and see how far they're ahead to gauge how good of a human they are. I seem like downstate too, people kind of look up to others that are successful, people that have a lot of land, people that have a lot of money, people that own big companies. To me, that's not fair. I think everyone should share the way our people do. If you get more than what you need, you share it with somebody else that isn't so lucky. I hope that will be